There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am so excited that you're here, and I am even more excited for you guys to meet my next guest, Dr. Funke Brown. Girlfriend, you and I met, and I am just in love with your mission. I'm in love with your heart, all the things that you're trying to do for people. And I am so grateful that you're here. You are the founder of Restful Sleep MD. So you're a physician who specializes in giving people basically hope and practical tools to rest better so we can function better. Does that sound about right?
Absolutely. You got it right, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me.
I would love for you to paint us a better picture than what I could ever do justice of who you are, how you're serving the world today, kind of where God has brought you up to this point.
Yes, absolutely. So again, like you mentioned, I am a board certified pediatric pulmonologist and also a sleep medicine physician. So I help children breathe better and sleep better, and by extension, I help their parents. And one of the things I have been passionate about as an encourager of people, which I am, is to help moms, especially busy moms, because I'm one, right? and their children prioritize sleep, because I feel like when we sleep better, we can achieve our optimal health and also reach our fullest potential. And really, that's been my mission with Restful Sleep MD overall.
I love that. And you just described that beautifully, because that's just it. We can't reach our full potential and do all of the things that we're being called to do if we are, you know, burning both ends, right? Which is where I was for the longest time, hustling for the sake of hustling, right? We have to do it all in order to get there faster. And sometimes we have to just remember that in order for us to be where we need to go, we have to slow down to speed up, right?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I totally agree.
And so how did you get interested in this line of work, and how did you become so passionate about helping people that are struggling with this?
Yes. So, you know, the thing is, again, I mean, in my practice, I'm seeing patients, I see all kinds of complex sleep disorders, all kinds of complex breathing disorders as well. And I just realized what an impact sleep has on our breathing, and what an impact breathing has on our sleep. So when I see, for example, children that have asthma and things like that, and I realize they're up all night coughing, so because of that, they're not getting the restful sleep they need. And as these families come to see me, I'm looking at the parents and the moms, and they are exhausted, right? They're not able to sleep because their child is not able to sleep. And so I'm really looking at this in a more holistic fashion. And I'm someone who is just love inspiring women. I love it because I have been inspired by so many people, including you, you know. So, you know, just really seeing that, what if we could get women sleeping better? And so in my little piece, I'll help their kids. But then I know I'm helping the moms when I'm helping their kids. And really, from my expertise and my experience, knowing what impact sleep has on our function, knowing, like you said, we want to do all the things. We have 24 hours. God has given us 24 hours. But if we do it right, we're supposed to be sleeping about 8 of those hours. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, as women, we're sleep deprived. We're not, sleep is on the back burner. It's like, listen, there's so many things I need to get accomplished. I'm not able to fit sleep in right now, without really realizing, oh my goodness, I feel exhausted during the day. I feel groggy. I'm living in a fog. I'm moody with the children God has blessed me with. So it's like this vicious cycle.
Right.
And so that's something I just thought, like, I can help. I can help with that because I get it, because I've been there and I know the science, and, you know, this is my field of expertise, and I want to use it to just help people.
I love that. And so I just want to take a moment because one of the things that I found is that when people get to know the heart and the why behind the people that they're working with, they fall in love. They become raving fans, right? And they can't get enough of you and all that you do. And so I want to just dive into a little bit about who you are as a person, because I think that it's fascinating. You're a physician that you work with pulmonary disorders with children during the day. That's yeah. your career. And then you built this business on the side. Tell me about that. Did you always know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Absolutely not. So honestly, let me just tell you, if you told me all this would happen a year ago, even while we were in the pandemic, I'd be like, I would just laugh. Exactly. I would just I didn't see this coming. But I can tell you, I love the title of your podcast, which is Unstuck. I was stuck. A year ago, I was completely stuck. I knew there was more. I was doing, going, which I'm passionate about, helping families. So I was still feeling fulfilled at work. But I felt like I could do more. And, you're in the medical field. You know how these things run. You have like 30 minutes or 20 minutes to see families and to solve so many problems. And I just couldn't get the chance to delve deeper.
Right.
And so I think that was where some of that restlessness came from. And then for me as well, I'm like, okay, I have this gift of building people up, of encouraging them. I'm not quite sure how I'm supposed to do that. Like, what do I do? Do I go to life coaching? What do? I know I need to connect with people, And so, as I started speaking with, with families, as I even my own family, right, my friends, and when they're talking, we've had a very challenging 18 months or so, right? And one of the things that has been impacted a lot has been sleep. And I'm hearing that again and again. I'm not sleeping. I can't sleep. My mind is racing. I'm exhausted during the day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the connection. That's the missing link. We're not sleeping,
So I love that. And so I think that this is important to take a moment and address this, because you had a fulfilling job that you spent years and years training for. And I could agree with the same, right? But that there's just like something inside of you that just knows that there's something missing, that there's something that you're being drawn to, but you don't know what it is, right? Yeah. And I love that you listen to that, because so many people, I think, can be okay with okay. And I kind of like joke around in my house that fine is a naughty four-letter F word, because I don't want it to be fine. I want it to be amazing and great. And I think that so oftentimes we can kind of get stuck in the rut of things, even though we shouldn't be discontented. There's just something inside, right? And so I think that it's amazing that you asked yourself those questions. And what do I love to do? And what am I good at? And then you started listening to people and you're like, oh my goodness, like I keep hearing this over and over again. And then you're like, wait a minute, I have skills to help with that. Right? And I think it's just encouraging for people who are feeling the same way that you and I have felt, because I think that it's important for us to acknowledge, especially for women that are well-educated, who have gone to school for a really long time, like we should be content with what we're doing. And it's okay to explore new passions alongside of the things that we've been, doing. And so I just love that. What would you say has been the hardest part about starting your own business?
I mean, I think starting.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's the what am I doing? And it's dealing with the uncertainties, right?
Yeah.
The inner critic that says, oh, you went to medical school. Okay, fine. It's school, but you didn't go to business school. What do you know about entrepreneurship, and really those self-limiting beliefs? And despite being successful in my career, still feeling not good enough. I think those were some of the things. I feel like a lot of it were mindset limitations that I allowed in than anything else, because whatever I'm doing right now, I'm still doing it afraid and uncertain. But I'm still putting one foot in front of the other regardless.
Yes.
And so I think that's been the hardest. It's the, how on earth are you supposed to do this? You don't do this. What will people think? Why can't you just be content? You're successful already,
Right.
And so I think a lot of it is dealing with those those beliefs pretty much.
Yes, absolutely. I think that especially in medicine, right? We're so used to we have to get it right. We have to be perfect. We don't take action until we have it right. And it's really hard for us perfectionists and hardworking overachievers, right, to take those risks when we're not 100% ready. And what are some of the things that got you past that? What are some of the things that you executed to help yourself get yourself into action, even though it was maybe scary or uncertain or imperfect or any of the things?
I would say it was finding community. So like your community, Lachelle, has been incredible. And then I also have a community of physicians who just want more, who were feeling restless like I was. So I think that helped, because I couldn't go necessarily to people who were just okay with being okay.
Yeah.
Right. It was like you go there and you're like, okay, I guess I just need to just be okay. And so I really had to find people who were okay, who were not okay with being okay. And so I think the world has become so small with social media as well. So it was connecting with the right people. And I think that really helped me. And doing a lot of work on myself as well with, you know, personal development, affirmations, you know, looking myself in the mirror and telling myself, I am worth it. I can do, you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I think those were some of the strategies that I put in place to kind of get me beyond that phase to get started.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, it's so powerful what you said, because getting started is the hardest part. But when we get started and we do smallest little things, like the smallest little victories, right? That's what's going to give us the confidence to keep going.
Yeah.
If you wait until you're confident to start, you're never going to start. You have to start where you're at. You have to celebrate small wins. And then once you build those up, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I can do this, right?
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. That
and so, I love that. I appreciate you sharing your journey with us, because I think that is important for us to get to know the woman behind everything that you're doing, and really helping people who are in the same place, even though they're not going down the same business route, to be able to hear those encouraging words. So what I would like to do next is talk all about sleep, because I think it's so important. You and I both have a passion for people fulfilling their potential, the greatest potential, becoming the best versions of themselves, which is why I just love that you're in the Better Club, by the way, because we're all about that, right? And so what I would do is I would love to talk about sleep and how not getting enough sleep and good sleep can impact us in our lives, and then give us any tips and tricks that we can have to help us improve where we're at. Does that sound like a good plan?
That sounds like an awesome plan. That's my zone.
Okay. So, okay, why don't you tell us about really where the body and the person is mostly impacted when they're not getting enough sleep. And we're talking about those busy moms that you mentioned. When us women are not getting that rest, what happens to ourselves? What happens to our bodies? Why do we have to care?
So I would say, usually what I say is, sleep is, you know, when we talk about pillars of health, we talk about, you know, diet and eating healthy and activity and exercise. Sleep is the third pillar. It is critical. As far as I'm concerned, it's actually the most important, because for you to eat healthy and metabolize properly, and for you to be fit and energetic, you do need sleep. And so when I look at sleep, we're looking at so many functions. To start with, just the cleansing that happens in sleep. So what happens is, from when you wake up and all the way till evening when you fall asleep, your brain actually builds up deposits right on the surface that gets cleansed during sleep. So the same way we have what you call your lymphatic system, which kind of clears away impurities out of your body, your brain also has this system that clears the waste products that are deposited in the brain. And studies have actually shown that when these deposits are not able to be cleared, they build up this beta amyloid, which is a type of protein that's been found in people with Alzheimer's, actually.
Really?
So
yeah.
We can actually then have issues with memory consolidation when we're not sleeping enough. And the other piece is our cognition and learning new skills as busy women, as entrepreneurs, as professionals. We're making critical decisions. So those critical decision-making skills are related to sleep. And so that's just even in terms of the mind and function. And then, of course, we're looking at other things like our mood, our emotions. Anxiety and depression is tightly linked to insufficient sleep. And so that's also something that's really important, because there's a structure in our brain that helps with regulating emotions. And so a lot of the right connections are formed when we sleep. And then, you know, moving further down, we start to talk about its impact on our physical health.
Yeah.
So cardiovascular disease, there's increased risk of hypertension, increased risk of strokes that are associated with insufficient sleep, actually.
Yeah.
And then one thing I know that a lot of women struggle with at times is weight and, you know, being able to lose weight and things like that. So obesity is really affected by lack of sleep, because what happens is, think if we connect it to, okay, you don't sleep, you're feeling stressed, there are hormones in your body that sort of get dysregulated, and you start to prefer certain foods, you start to prefer those sugary foods. And also, you're not able to metabolize properly. So that can cause obesity. With obesity, you can then have type 2 diabetes. And so then you have this vicious cycle, and then depression, anxiety. And so a lot of those things can be affected by sleep. And so, you know, in order to, again, be our best selves, live our fullest potential with our health has to be appropriate, where we have to be able to learn new skills, like I'm learning about business. I need sleep to learn it. Make decisions. You know, I need sleep to be able to make critical decisions and be safe on the road, right? I don't want to drive sleepy. And so that's also something that we want to make sure that we avoid. So you could tell, like, I could go on, but those are just some broad...
And you know, one of the things I would love to just learn this, because I am also an entrepreneur who runs a skincare business. And I've also heard that, like, people will ask me, why do I have to wash my face in the morning when I washed it at night before I went to bed? And I've heard that our body just processes and cleanses our skin while we sleep. Can you describe that at all? I'm just really fascinated by it.
It is. And, you know, there are actually studies that show that we age faster as well when we don't sleep. So yes, there are some functions. And then the other piece that I didn't mention is your immune system, which kind of deals with the bacteria, helps you to mount the appropriate response, helps to make sure there's not too much inflammation in your body, is improved when we sleep. So if you don't sleep, then you're getting all those effects, which can affect every organ in your body, including the skin, which is an organ. So yes, I totally agree with you.
Wow. And there's so much. And like you said, I love the fact that you come from a medical background. So you're familiar with the studies. You understand what a good study is about. And that's the thing, you guys, like, I used to teach evidence-based practice. And so, like, you when you have a medical professional who understands how to read literature and can weed out the stuff that's bad, like, she's able to bring this information to the table from a very intelligent perspective. And I just absolutely love that. I'm so grateful for that. And so I think that it's interesting though, because I think sometimes we almost wear a lack of sleep as a badge of honor. Like, you know, remember when you went to medical school and you were in residency? I mean, were you sleep deprived or were you sleep deprived, right?
100%. And yet, that's part of my story, because I know how I felt, and you're burning the candle on both ends, because I was trying to learn before a test. And so you'd be up all night.
Yeah.
But guess what? Because I needed sleep for memory, I would not remember anything I studied overnight.
Right.
I wouldn't. So you're so right. And it's just like this vicious cycle.
Yeah. And it's almost like people use the word, like, I'm so busy as a badge of honor too. Like, you know, like, whatever. And I think that let's try to shift our perspective and to say, like, I try to embrace balance as a badge of honor, right? I'm able to accomplish so much more because I'm working smarter, not harder. How do we work smarter, not harder? We make sure that we get the rest so that our body is performing at its best. You guys,
I love it.
Like, we don't have to be hustling for the sake of hustling anymore. And so I would love for you to, Dr. Brown, tell us, you know, what are some tips that you have for people who are, let's just start with this. I don't have enough time to get 8 hours of sleep. Let's start there. What kind of things can you help us who are the busybodies who are trying to accomplish everything, and we have the kids and the job and the business and all the things?
Yeah.
So what can you tell us to help, you know, to bridge that gap?
Absolutely. I think the important thing first is knowledge, right? And sharing knowledge. And thank you so much for using this platform and to help me get my voice out there.
Yeah.
Is now you know that sleep is so critical to every aspect of your performance, including being a successful mom and being a successful everything that you mm-hmm. want to do. And so I think that's where it starts from, because when we have knowledge, then we have power to make the right decisions. And I think that's where it starts. The same way we talk about, you know, mindset, it's a mindset thing to start with.
Yeah.
I don't have enough time. We have to switch that from I don't have enough time to how can I make sure that I have enough
yes.
time to prioritize sleep, knowing that when I sleep well, I deliver better. So I think that's, for me, that's where the work really is, because it turns out you do actually have enough time. You don't necessarily have to hit that 8 hours like all the time. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a range for women. It goes anywhere from 7 to 9. And so really checking yourself. Some people need a little less than 8. Some people need a little more, and really finding where that balance is that gives you your optimal performance. So that being said, one of the first things I usually will say is consistency. We have to, the same way we schedule our meetings, we schedule our meeting with sleep every night at that set time, because that's one of the things that really trains your body that it's time for you to sleep. That time, so when your body expects that, okay, it's time for bed, it cues sleep to come and it cues melatonin, which is a sleep hormone, to be released. And also having a set wake-up time. So really having a set bedtime, a set wake-up time. That wake-up time is so important. Again, your day starts and then your circadian rhythm is strengthened when you have that set wake up time.
So let me
let
me ask you this. Will I change
sure.
your train of thought? Because I don't want to wreck.
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
That's okay.
So, yes. Okay. So one question that I get a lot is, you know, I'm really pushing Miracle Morning. Like I have a morning routine. And so mm-hmm. it's important for me to have my time to myself. And for me,
yeah.
I use it for my affirmations, my prayer, my mm-hmm. reading, a little light exercise. And so what I hear a lot is that it's so hard for people, women especially, to consider those same habits on the weekends, right? And so
yeah.
what are your thoughts on, you know, is it okay to give yourself the permission to sleep in on the weekends, or is it best for your body to try to keep that same schedule during the weekends? I'm just curious what your thought is.
Yes. And I thank you so much for bringing that. Was very helpful, actually, because I was going to just gloss over that. So that consistency should include the weekend.
Okay.
But give yourself grace. It does not have to be perfect. If you are exhausted and you feel you need a little extra, it's okay. But what I recommend is that you shouldn't go above like 1 to 2 hours from your routine time.
Okay.
So you don't want to be someone who wakes up at 6 a.m. on the weekdays and then you're sleeping in till 11 a.m. on the weekend.
Right.
So that's just the thing. So you can stretch it a little just to try to catch up a bit, but really you want to limit it to about 1 to 2 hours from your set time on the weekend. But
I
agree.
That.
That's really important. Yeah.
Thank you. And I think too, when we do that, I function better. I think my day is better when
yes.
I know that I have that time for myself, especially as a mom,
yes.
because the kids
yes.
come in and they want everything. And then it brings the start of my day in service. Right. But if I can give
yes.
myself that time, I actually set myself up, but I have to be able to set my alarm. So,
yes.
so, you know, I never regret doing it, but it's sometimes
yes.
hard to do it. So thank you for encouraging all of us to continue
yes.
our morning routines in the weekend.
Yes. Yes, please do. Again, we are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And so I think, especially with how much a morning routine and a nighttime routine can do for your body, it has
yes.
so many benefits to your mental health, your physical health, that we really shouldn't skip it. Yeah.
So, was there something else that you wanted to say?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the other piece I would say is the routine. So I think we've pretty much covered it. So have a wind down routine. That is so important. Don't just go from walking on the laptop to I'm just going to slump into bed.
Mm-hmm.
Really have something to cue your body again, like it's time for bed. Something calm and relaxing is what I recommend, that moves in the direction of the bedroom. So it involves like shutting down the electronics about 30 to 60 minutes before, so
okay.
that melatonin starts to be released. Taking a nice bath, a soak if you can, or a shower. is also helpful, you know, getting into comfortable PJs, maybe reading a book, just mm-hmm. really having a nice wind down routine is very important. So that's a really key sleep tip.
Dumb question, but I'm curious because people might actually be thinking the same thing. So is there a difference between reading a book, like a paper book, and reading a book on an iPad for your downtime?
Yeah. So I would say preferably you should get a paper book, and one that's boring, as not really too boring, but not like some engaging fiction that ends up, you know, exciting. We just want your heart rate. Uh-huh. You want things to wind down, not like some thriller that's going to give you nightmares or something like that. But for example, I use a Kindle, but you just have to make sure that the night shift mode is on. So if you are using an iPad, ideally you want to use one that has the night shift mode. The reason why is the light from the screen, it's a blue wavelength light, and that's very similar to daylight. And so the hormone melatonin is a darkness hormone, so it's only produced when things are dark. So we trick our brains when we have too much light into thinking, oh, it's still daytime. And mm-hmm. so then it's hard for you to fall asleep. And the other piece with social media or things like that. So people have told me, especially my teenagers, like, oh, yeah, I use the night shift mode and I'm on group chats and, you know, I'm on the phone. It's the excitement you get from it, right? It's that mm-hmm. excitement. So really trying to minimize anything that's way too thrilling or too distracting at bedtime.
Or even stressful, right? Checking my emails before I go to sleep like, oh my gosh, I have to do that. I didn't get back to that person and all the things. And it's like, then you think about it. And I think that sometimes I dream about it and that doesn't give me very much rest.
And then your mind is racing and then you just have this hard time. Then two other things I would want to say is the caffeine. Mm. Caffeine is a stimulant. And a lot of us women, especially when you're so tired, you just really want that little thing to just a little jump. To start your day, that's fine if you're taking it in the morning. But caffeine has a very long half-life, more than 6 hours. So if you take caffeine at about, say, 3 p.m. or, you know, 5 p.m., when you're ready to go to bed at 10 p.m., only about 50% of it is metabolized. So you still have a lot of caffeine in your system, and that can fragment your sleep and prevent you from getting that deep quality sleep. That's really helpful and restorative. So caffeine is a big one for us women as well. So that's something to say.
What about the people who say, I just love to unwind with a glass of wine because my kids are driving me insane and I'm exhausted and whatever. So tell me how that affects our sleep.
Yes, sleep. So caffeine, yes. And then, yes, wine is also a big one. So wine is a sedative. So, of course, it makes you nice and loose and relaxed and can actually put you to sleep very quickly. Mm-hmm. But the problem, again, is it's broken down during the night. And so mm-hmm. then it can fragment your sleep. So we really want to, because it's not giving you a natural state of sleep. It's a sedative and you really don't want to sedate yourself to sleep. And so if you'll take a nightcap, then probably much earlier in the day, again, maybe like 5 p.m. or so, you want to avoid it just so that you can protect that restorative sleep, which is your deep sleep. And so, I would avoid that. Another thing I would avoid is heavy meals because your body then is digesting at nighttime and then it gets really uncomfortable. Some people may have reflux and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you want to avoid heavy meals. One last thing I would say, is one thing that I know that women struggle with is that mind that just keeps racing. Yes. Like you mentioned,
the whole podcast on that.
Exactly. So having some kind of ritual or routine that can help you with mindfulness or meditation or something to just help you divert your attention is really helpful.
One of the things that I've been trying to get in a better habit of, and I'm in process, is making a list of gratitude before I go to sleep. I have found that when I can, so one of the things that I've been doing is a gratitude journal, or at least writing and making a list of what I'm grateful for. And it's putting me into a positive mindset. So at least while I'm sleeping, I'm thinking of good things instead of things that are stressing me out. So I'm trying, but what are some things that you recommend? Are there any specific apps or people to follow or anything like that when it comes to those nighttime routines for mindfulness, or maybe even maybe somebody that's listening doesn't even know what mindfulness is. Can you describe what you mean by that?
So really is maintaining that state of awareness of yourself, really, because what happens is that when our minds are so congested and full of everything we're going through, everything that's happened during the day, everything that's in the future, when you're about to go to sleep, sometimes those thoughts just all come flooding in. And so it's really important to detach them sort of from you at that moment, because they'll affect your sleep. So one of the things that I recommend, especially for women, they see this, sometimes they're so exhausted, they can fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And then they may wake up at 2 a.m. and it's done. The sleep yes. is done. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I realize sleep is important. Now my day is going to be short. This is stressful. Yes. Oh my goodness. Imagine what that person told me. And then you start bringing up like memories from 6 years ago. How could I have responded that? You know, it's a spiral.
Yes.
So taking that as a thought, and just setting it aside and focusing on you, I think is helpful. Very commonly, what I say is breathe, like literally stop and breathe, 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 breathe. And so with that, there are just so many apps out there. Headspace is a really good one. You know, I'm not affiliated with any of that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes actually just, for me, sometimes maybe like finding a guided meditation, like sometimes you could look up guided meditation on your phone or something. Now, be mindful, your phone by then should be, the blue light filter should be on. So you don't want to expose yourself to light. So mm-hmm. finding something like that to just listen to where someone is either reading a book or reading scripture
yeah.
is very, or playing music and mm-hmm. breathing alongside with that is helpful. But if you're caught in a spiral, this is really important, I feel like, and you're in bed and you're realizing you're tossing and turning and you just feel like the emotions are escalating,
mm-hmm.
it's really important to just get out of bed. That's it. Just
okay.
get out of bed, because your brain is now forming an association and seeing your bed as a place of worry. So we need to break that association.
Huh. Okay.
Get out of bed and maybe just sit on the floor, sit in a chair, read a book, whatever you need to do. Just detach. Go find like old laundry and fold and unfold something really boring
okay.
Until you start to feel sleepy again, and then you return to bed. I feel like that's really important, as well as trying to address those underlying things. So now if you find out you're someone who's anxiety prone, or things like that, you need to get help. I think that's really helpful. That's really good. That's something that I recommend.
Oh my goodness. You have been just the most beautiful wealth of knowledge. You've taught me so much. You're making me want to get to bed on time tonight.
That's the goal. Yes.
And you know,
my work is done.
Yes.
My work is done.
And I do. I love that so much. Is there anything else that you haven't had a chance to share with our audience before, you know, we say goodbye today?
Well, I would say usually one of the things I say is when sleep is abundant, we radiate our inner brilliance, so we can thrive. We can reach our fullest potential. We just need to reassess what our needs are and prioritize sleep and then fit everything else around it.
Oh, I love that. And remember, you guys, if you're a mom out there, that just like when we're on the airplane, that we can't serve unless we have taken care of ourselves first, right? And that's really, really hard. But I can tell you that when I'm tired, I'm much more crabby. Don't get the best of me anyway. So it's okay to give yourself permission to love on yourself and get the rest that you need and take care of yourself so that you can be the best mom, the best version of yourself that you can. So Okay, thank you so much for showing up today and sharing your heart. We're going to make sure that you guys have all of the ways that you can connect with her in the show notes so that you can follow her on Instagram, follow her on Facebook, get in touch with her if you want to work with her, all of the things. We're going to make sure that they have the ability to get a hold of you. And one thing that I always do every single time I interview someone is ask you, if you were to give our audience one question that they can ask themselves that's going to help them move forward, what would you have them think about?
I would say, what would happen if I did, and what would happen if I don't?
Mm.
And then choose the answer that will give you the best outcome.
Oh, I love that. That's so simple and so profound at the same time. Thank you so, so much, you guys. I'm so glad that you joined us today. We'll see you inside the Better Club, and I hope that y'all have an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.